This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe.
Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe. Your mileage may vary, but I do like to think that that's because everybody's journey to the fringe is an individual endeavor.
Ah, that was beautiful.
We are your unique and special podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, here today. Chelsea, we're going over, it's hard to explain, I think. But Canada just came out with a UFO report, and this was published in June of 2025 by the Office of the Chief Science Advisor.
Wow.
I don't think the Chief Science Advisor actually wrote it. She did have a foreword for it, but my guess is that it was written by her office. But basically, it was written to kind of talk about the status of UAPs in Canada as of today.
I can't complain with the stance that Canada has generally as a whole over the world towards UFOs. We seem pretty liberal to it and accepting of it. And we have declassified UFO files for Shake Harbor, for one. We've done tons of research on it. We had that one guy, Hellier, I can't remember his name right now, that he was a part of the government that really loved to talk about UFOs. I just love our stance on it.
Oh, the Secretary of Defense, yeah.
Yeah, we've put out coins with... with famous UFO sightings on it.
And that does come up in this episode.
I can't, you gotta love the Canadian government for the stance they take on it. I don't really think they're trying to repress it.
And you know what? I do find this very interesting. I do think this shines a great light because we're always looking at it from the conspiratorial, the what if true side of these stories.
Yeah.
I do find it interesting to look at what is the government saying about this stuff.
Yeah.
So, they did a full report. It's going to explain why they did it as we get going, but we're just going to read through quite a bit of it. I did have to cut down significantly, which did include cutting out potential communications with ET societies, which was an entire thing this went down, a rabbit hole this entire paper went down.
Why would you tease that and then not?
We might do it in a separate episode later on, okay. As well as
I hope other, you make note of it.
Other countries' responses to UAPs. So to keep this episode to a reasonable level, we had to cut those parts out, and we might talk about them in the future. Other than that, I basically just edited it down for keeping it to a reasonable length.
I'm so excited now.
So without much more, we're going to be reading the report of the Sky Canada Project from the Office of the Chief Science Advisor of Canada, titled Management of Public Reporting of Unidentified Aerial Phenomena in Canada. I kept this first sentence of the first like three paragraphs in here just because I wanted you to understand how they wrote this. Since the dawn of humanity, the sky has been a profound source of fascination, wonder, and inspiration. It went on that way for three paragraphs. I had to cut that out. It also ends with that, too. In Canada, as elsewhere in the world, people are intrigued by what are now referred to as unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs, which sometimes arouse considerable curiosity and debate. While many UAP reports can be attributed to optical illusions, atmospheric phenomena, or human activity, a minority remain unexplained for a myriad of reasons, including a lack of reliable data that prevents rigorous scientific analysis. Yet, these unexplained sightings generate interest and can be the source of misinformation or disinformation. One of the primary issues with misinformation and disinformation is their impact on public trust. When people are repeatedly exposed to false narratives, they may become skeptical of credible sources, including scientists, journalists, and government institutions. In early 2023, several incidents in Canada caught the public's attention. Over a two-week period, four unidentified flying objects flew over North America. The first and most widely reported in the media was a balloon which flew across Alaska, Western Canada, and easterly across the United States from January 28th to February 4th. The U.S. eventually shot it down over the U.S. waters off South Carolina. From the recovered debris, it was identified as originating from a foreign country and carried sophisticated equipment. 1 week later, on February 11th, 2023, the North American Aerospace Defense, NORAD, ordered the downing of a smaller balloon over Yukon. These incidents highlighted the importance of government investigations of what appears in the sky and how complex it is to distinguish between natural occurrences, common technological devices, and potential security concerns. This report aims to set a milestone in Canada's pursuit of a better approach to the management and study of UAPs. And Chelsea, those are the events that spurred this paper to be written, the weather balloons from China.
After you said that, that kind of sparked within myself that that's probably what was the cause of it, because that was a big thing that happened within recent history. So yeah. Now I'm very excited. Do they talk about what it was?
They don't, but it was a weather balloon. I don't think there's any dispute over it being a weather balloon. Yeah.
God damn it. I hate that explanation, but okay.
And I should say, the Office of the Chief Science Advisor in Canada shortens to OCSA. It comes up right here. In 2023,
I'm going to forget that.
The OCSA announced the creation of the Sky Canada Project. At the outset, its main objectives were to review current UAP reporting methods in Canada and propose improvements as needed, to enable Canada's federal government to optimize the collection and analysis of UAP observations in a transparent manner, to provide insight for better tools to combat misinformation and disinformation, which I find very interesting, and to encourage participatory science and public understanding of aerial phenomena, and to support monitoring of Canada's airspace.
See, this is government fund. This is my tax money going to good use, I feel like.
Yeah, and yeah. I think you actually are going to like what happens from here as well. They've done a good job over these 2 years.
This is just like heartwarming, because I was getting really pissed off at things. So this is
OCSA established boundaries on what Sky Canada Project did not intend to address. It is not meant to prove or disprove the existence of ET life or ET visitors, collect or analyze firsthand data such as photos, videos, or individual UAP sighting reports, be seen as an endeavor to make the Office of the Chief Scientific Advisor the primary point of contact for reporting UAP sightings, or position the OCSA as the lead organization for initiating or managing internal collaboration related to UAP research for investigation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's setting the parameters for the paper, and it moves on to the story of UFO to UAPs from here.
Okay.
Until recently, the term UFO was used to describe aerial phenomena that could not be conclusively identified. UFOs are definitionally unidentified, but this does not imply that they are extraterrestrial, that they defy natural or scientific explanation, or that they would not be identified with access to additional or better data and tools. The abbreviation UAP is a newer and increasingly more prevalent term. UAP includes a broader set of movements, such as being stationary in the air, falling or floating, and submerging in water, as well as phenomena that are not material objects, such as gases and lights. The terminology shift potentially reduces the historical stigma associated with the UFO sightings. Witnesses were often met with skepticism and ridicule, leading to a negative perception and arbitrary judgments being cast upon them. Stigmatization can have significant consequences, such as discouraging witnesses from coming forward and hindering scientific inquiry. The new, more encompassing UAP terminology can help promote greater transparency, credibility, and acceptance of research in professional and scientific circles and in the wider public. While the term UFO continues to be used, governments and other organizations are gradually adopting the more comprehensive term UAP. This report will use the abbreviation UAP when describing more recent activity and UFO when dealing with more historical ones. Most UAP sightings can be explained through careful investigation and analysis, given sufficient reliable data. For example, France's group who collects information on their behalf, it's called the GAPAN United Airspace Phenomenon Research and Information Group, which investigates UAP sightings in France, reports that 3,188 cases collected by 2025 had only 3.2% of cases remaining unidentified after investigation. Furthermore, 31.4% of cases could not be explained due to insufficient data. Similarly, MUFON Canada reports that of the 321 sightings it investigated in 2023, 31% could not be conclusively explained due to the information being too vague. Most UAP observations can be attributed to relatively simple explanations, including conventional aircrafts, weather phenomena, which includes atmospheric conditions that can create unusual visual effects, ice crystals, storms, clouds, or temperature inversions can sometimes make lights or objects appear in unusual and hard to identify ways. Astronomical objects such as planets, stars, or meteors, man-made objects such as weather balloons, drones, satellites, sky lanterns, or experimental aircrafts. These objects may have unusual flight patterns or lighting that can cause confusion. Optical illusions such as reflections, lens flares, or other optical effects can create the appearance of something unusual in the sky. And human error, misinterpretation of everyday objects or phenomena such as aircraft lights seen from different angles can lead to UAP reports.
I could see it. And I think this is a good time to bring up as well. I think that I brought this up to you, not while we were recording once, Taylor, but I did see posted just a week or two ago, a video from someone in Alberta capturing ball lightning.
Yeah, you did. And that's the first recorded video of it.
Yeah. So just something to throw in there when you're talking about meteorological events and stuff like that. Ball lightning has actually been captured on video by now someone in Alberta, which is one of those things that everyone always says a UFO is ball lightning. So
yeah,
it does exist.
Nonetheless, some UAP sightings for which data exists remain unexplained, even after investigation. That's the end of that section. We're going to move on to tackling the puzzle. New technologies can contribute to UAP reporting and analysis. For example, the tech startup Enigma Labs launched a real-time iOS app for phones in 2023. This application captures sightings and compiles them into a standardized searchable database that can be analyzed. The Enigma app includes over 14,000 UAP sighting reports from Canada, some of which cover historical sighting reports downloaded from other sources. Interestingly, the survey by Earncliffe's Strategies for the Sky Canada project found that 2 in 5 respondents are interested in using a phone app to document UAPs. The use of artificial intelligence in this context is particularly promising, with growing volume of data enabled by smartphone technologies such as Enigma Labs application. AI could significantly streamline and standardize the process of examining and assessing UAP sightings. AI can assist in sifting through vast amount of data from various sources, such as databases, tracking airplane locations, satellites, stars, planets, and weather conditions. This capability could aid in interpreting visual data from UAP sightings more accurately and in identifying trends. Such initiatives could be crucial in transitioning from anecdotal evidence to more scientifically rigorous analysis and may contribute to enhancing the quality of UAP research. So that's the end of that section. It was really short. And then we move on to breaking the stigma, the challenges of academic research on UAPs. Despite a valid scientific rationale for studying UAPs, many academic research communities seem to fear stigma associated with pursuing research on this topic. A recent survey of 1,460 tenured and tenure-track faculty members in 144 research-intensive universities in the United States revealed that 53% believe that UAP-related research would jeopardize their tenure or promotion, even though only 7% had a negative opinion of this type of research. A review by the OCSA of two of Canada's main federal research funding agencies found very few funded projects related to UAPs. For example, over the last 25 years, there have been no grants or funding applications directly related to UAPs at the Natural Science and Engineering Research Council of Canada, and only 7 applications and 2 grants of scholarships from the Social Sciences and Humanity Research Council. Consistent with this, the OCSA only found a dozen graduate-level dissertations related to UAPs in Canada over the same 25-year period. Among those was Matthew Hayes' research at Trent University that gave rise to a comprehensive book titled Search for the Unknown, Canada's UFO Files and the Rise of Conspiracy Theory. The book explores the history of UAP sightings in Canada, the response from the government, and the resulting perception from the public. I found that really interesting. They're actually looking at this and saying, like, there's no funding going to this educationally. And there's a big stigma attached to it. So there's something that needs to be done here. So that's the end of that section. We're moving on to empowering discovery, the role of participatory science in engaging communities. Participatory sciences, and I do have to say this section got cut from significantly because it had a lot to do with finding other alien life in the cosmos.
I really want to know what it said.
Okay. Participatory science, historically called citizen science, involves engaging the public as research assistants in projects. It allows researchers to collect vast amounts of data over large geographical areas and longer periods than would be feasible from a small team of scientists and a limited number of instruments. This approach accelerates scientific discovery and strengthens public confidence in science. Additionally, participatory science fosters scientific literacy by providing new opportunities for individuals to actively participate in research. Collaborating with scientists in data collection, analysis, and interpretation while learning about the scientific method. As noted in the House of Commons Standing Committee on Science and Research report on citizen science, these initiatives are particularly valuable for addressing data gaps and informing public policy, especially in the health and environmental fields. Such contributions demonstrate the vital role citizen scientists can play in advancing knowledge and supporting evidence-based decision-making. We're moving on to UAPs in the public.
Wow, we're moving fast.
Like I said, there's a lot of words I need to get through, so I came in this script with a mission. The way reports of UAP sightings are framed and disseminated significantly with...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Influence public perception. Some sightings gain widespread attention, fueled by compelling eyewitness accounts, documented evidence, or extraordinary circumstances. Media coverage and pop culture have further shaped these narratives, embedding certain cases in the collective memory. In particular, well-documented Canadian sightings, such as the Falcon Lake encounter or the Shag Harbor incident, have become cultural touchstones, commemorated not only in local lore, but also through initiatives like the Royal Canadian Mint's UAP-themed coins. Despite the intrigue, the discourse around UAPs is often fragmented with inconsistent reporting mechanisms and varying levels of credibility among sources. The rise of conspiracy theories, disinformation, and sensationalism can further muddy the waters, making it harder for the public to discern fact from fiction. With growing fascination, complexity, and uncertainty, the UAP field has also experienced a rise in misinformation and disinformation. The Sky Canada Project examined current government reporting practices on UAPs to determine the extent to which these practices could address two types of information-related problems: misinformation and disinformation. Misinformation refers to any inaccurate or false information that circulates unintentionally in the public sphere, often long after the information has been proven wrong. While disinformation involves false information deliberately intended to mislead people. In recent years, disinformation, misinformation, and conspiracy theories have increasingly caught the attention of researchers from various fields. One key insight from this research is the importance of rapidly offering clear explanations to counter or at least reduce the spread of misleading ideas. In today's world of information overload, gaps in information are often quickly filled by disinformation or misinformation. When people experience uncertainty or fear, they are more likely to seek explanations to regain control over their situation. Disinformation provides false but sometimes comforting explanations, which can be appealing even if they are not based on fact. People may seek explanations that confirm their existing beliefs, potentially leading to them accepting biased conclusions or conspiracy theories. Research has shown that conspiracy theories are contagious. Once they take hold, they are difficult to debunk. This is a cognitive bias that people tend to believe the first piece of information they hear, even if it's later proven false. Reactive strategies like debunking or striking back tend to be less effective than preventative strategies. Such preventative, also called pre-bunking, appears to be the most successful approach. This involves providing correct information ahead of time to prevent the spread of falsehoods. An open and transparent dialogue with the public, especially from trusted figures such as scientists, is essential in reducing information gaps and building trust in institutions. When people trust the source of information, they are less likely to embrace conspiracy theories. This highlights the need for a reliable, credible source of information on UAPs, one that can quickly and accurately provide explanations to the witnesses, the media, and the broader public. Another major concern is the role of technology in accelerating the spread of false information. Social media platforms, recommendation algorithms, and deepfake technology make it increasingly difficult to distinguish between fact and fiction. Ultimately, combating misinformation and disinformation requires a combination of media literacy, responsible technology use, and proactive fact-checking efforts from both individuals and institutions. For this to happen, a clear and transparent framework for data reporting and analysis needs to be in place. So that's their conspiracy section, which I found very interesting what they focused on.
It is very interesting. It seems really like they're trying to foster
openness.
Openness, yes. That is a great word that I wasn't going to say.
Okay. I just feel like they're really saying, hey, if you actually just comment on these things immediately, you can get this debunking you have to do later harder out of the way.
It's almost like they're trying to make it so there's less of a stigma for people to report UFOs.
I know we've had this conversation a lot too, how there's a very weird pipeline of fringe groups to extreme far right political beliefs, mm-hmm. which seems to come from the conspiracy side. And I do think that what they just described is something that happens within these groups.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's also saying that people are less willing to do things around it because of the stigma behind it. So it sounds like they're trying to combat that as well, which is refreshing.
Public sightings of UAPs can be perplexing to individuals who experience them, prompting a search for information and answers. While this search can open people to scientific reasoning, it can also make the public vulnerable to misinformation, disinformation, and conspiracy theories, especially if they do not know which trusted organizations can help them. Although most reports of UAP sightings attract little attention, some become famous. When reported sightings fuel media coverage, prompt government action or scientific research, or permeate pop culture through movies or books, they can embed themselves in collective memory. The following five sightings are among the best known UAP cases reported in Canada over the past decades and have been commemorated by the Royal Canadian Mint on coins. May 20th, 1967, Falcon Lake, Manitoba. We've done an episode on that. Mm-hmm. October 4th, 1967, Shag Harbor, Nova Scotia. We've done an episode on that. October 26th, 1978, near Clarenville, Newfoundland in Labrador. Never even heard of this one. Several witnesses, including a constable of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, RCMP, reported seeing an oval-shaped object over the harbor. No material evidence was found. November 7th, 1990, Montreal. A large oval-shaped luminous phenomenon was observed in the evening over the rooftop pool of the Bonaventure Hotel by about 40 witnesses, including journalists and police officers.
What?
Air traffic control confirmed there was no radar activity in the area. And December 11th, 1996, Yukon. At least 31 people in four different areas of Yukon reported seeing a row of lights in the sky, which many described as resembling a spacecraft. The phenomenon was later observed by several others in different locations.
Wow. So many that I didn't know. I mean,
I know.
The first two were renowned. These ones didn't really have a name.
But even to identify those as big cases in a government report, I think was huge.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we need to look into those three.
Given the ephemeral nature of UAP sightings, reporting and analyzing them can bring together very different people and institutions, often in a haphazard way. UAP sightings can come from a variety of sources, including ordinary citizens, airline pilots, and military personnel, and can be reported to different authorities depending on the circumstances. The incidents of UAP sightings have been analyzed over the years by various survey organizations and researchers. In 1974, Gallup conducted what may have been the first survey of the Canadian public regarding UFOs. The results showed that 67% of respondents had heard of UFOs, while 8% believed that they had seen one. By 78, 81% of Canadians had heard of UFOs, while 10% thought they had seen one. In 2024, Earnscliff's survey for the Sky Canada Project found that 27% of 1,008 respondents reported having observed an object or phenomenon in the sky that they could not identify, with 11% claiming to have made such an observation in the past year. That seems ridiculously high.
Do you think?
Like, just a little over one in four people has seen something in the sky they could not explain.
Damn it. Why am I the three of those people?
We got two of the four here who did not fall into the one of the four.
Yeah. What are the odds? Not likely, pretty much. That is high. Especially Canada is such a huge country. Most of our population is to the southern end of Canada.
And the crazy thing is, one in four people said they've seen something in the sky they couldn't explain. One in 10 said they saw it in 2024.
Those are crazy numbers.
Yeah.
And all our populations are pretty much in big cities. We have such a small population for how big of a country we have. That's a huge number for how many people are in Canada versus how much land we have. Because what are the odds of where these UAPs, pardon me, are going to be sighted?
Well, where the people are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that amounts for so many more that could potentially be being seen.
No, but they're not flying over the uninhabited parts of Canada.
Oh,
they're
no.
Just, they're just right, sticking actually. To the cities.
That would actually explain a lot. So yeah. Forgive me. Keep going.
Okay. Based on data published by a number of organizations, it can be estimated that between 600 and 1,000 cases of UAP sightings are reported each year in Canada. In the absence of a single data collection organization, the number and nature of these observations cannot be established conclusively for many reasons, including the possibility that the same sighting is reported separately by more than one organization. This makes it difficult to get a precise idea of the scale of the phenomena. In Canada, the longest and most recognized collection of UAP sightings is the Canadian UFO Survey, produced by a group of Manitoba-based volunteers called Ufology Research, directed by Mr. Chris Rutkowski. In 2023, they tallied 570 UFO reports. Since 1989, over 24,000 Canadian UFO reports have been cataloged. The major sources of this collection include other UFO organizations. Of note, data from another organization, MUFON Canada, was not available to Ufology Research in 2023, suggesting that the list may be incomplete. The survey conducted by Ernst Clift in 2024 also suggested that number of sightings may be higher. While advancement in technology and scientific inquiry may have improved our ability to investigate UAPs, the lack of standardized reporting mechanisms, fragmented data collection, and the spread of misinformation complicate efforts to correctly evaluate the number of UAP cases in Canada every year. And that's the end of that section. We're going to move on to methodology and findings.
Okay.
The history of UAP reporting within the federal government spans several decades, but includes extended periods with minimal or no activity. In 1950, the Department of Transport granted one of their engineers, Wilbert Smith, permission to do part-time research to investigate whether some UFOs could use the power of Earth's magnetic field as a source of propulsion. They called this Project Magnet. Smith gradually expanded its scope to include investigations of the validity of UFO observations. Unable to convince his colleagues of the merits of his research, Smith had to continue his work privately after the Department of Transport terminated Project Magnet in 1954. In 1952, the Department of Research Board, DRB, within the Department of National Defense, DND, established a committee called Project Second Story to examine the occurrences of flying saucers passing over Canada territory as reported by different branches of the armed services. The committee did not investigate UFO sightings, but it developed a standardized form to facilitate the reporting of UFOs across various government departments. This form was never broadly adopted or used, so this group was fairly useless. The committee held six meetings between 52 and 54, concluding, quote, UFOs pose neither a security threat nor were of scientific interest, end quote. It recommended ending all investigations by the Canadian military. Between 54 and 67, public reports continued to be submitted to various federal departments and agencies, including the RCMP, Transport Canada, the Department of National Defense, as well as at local police departments and non-federal entities. These organizations occasionally conducted inquiries or log sightings for record-keeping purposes. In 1967, on the recommendations of the Minister of National Defense, the responsibility for overseeing UFO reports was transferred to the NRC, which then became the main service for receiving public UFO reports. This transfer of responsibility includes the declassification of DND's Project Second Story and the Department of Transport's Project Magnet, as well as taking over the management of previous UFO reports. According to the NRC, until 1995, they were officially tasked with collecting information on UFOs from the public, municipalities, and other federal departments such as the RCMP and DND. Most, but not all, UFO reports received by the NRC were compiled into what became known as the Non-Meteoric Sightings File. In 1995, the NRC stopped collecting UFO reports. All related material was transferred to what is now known as the Library and Archives of Canada, LAC. which presently holds these records. LAC's collection of UFO documents estimated at 15,000 pages, of which 9,500 have been digitized, is open to the public and provides valuable information on the history of UFO sightings and the Canadian government's responses to them. The history of UAP reporting within Canadian federal government reflects a fluctuating level of interest and responsibility over time, with various departments and agencies intermittently engaging in investigations. The government's approach evolved but often lacked continuity and consistent focus. The limited adoption of standardized reporting mechanisms and the eventual cessation of formal investigations in 1995 marked a decline in federal involvement. And I cut this part out because it's going to be in another episode at some point. Consultation with federal departments and agencies. I'm just going to do the brief part I kept in.
Okay.
The Sky Canada Project sought to gain insight on the domestic front by identifying organizations in Canada that typically receive witness reports of UAP sightings and examined whether and how they collect, investigate, and follow up on these reports. While some departments, such as Transport Canada, have established mechanisms for collecting and analyzing UAP-related data, most organizations do not investigate sightings unless they intersect with their specific mandates. The lack of centralized data compilation and standardized reporting processes make it challenging to identify trends to conduct comprehensive analyses of UAP reports. So that's what we get from that.
Okay.
Citizen-led UAP groups and organizations. While government efforts to study and catalog UAP sightings have fluctuated over time, citizen-led investigations have remained steady. Today, Canada has several citizen-driven organizations dedicated to receiving, investigating, and discussing reports of UAPs. MUFON Canada is a non-profit organization that relies on civilian volunteers to study reported UAP sightings. There are numerous groups at the provincial level as well. For example, within the province of Quebec, there is the, I'm not going to try to say it, it's the UFO Alert Network, AQU, also known as GARPAN.
Okay.
UFO BC investigates BC and Yukon sightings, which I'd never even heard of before reading this paper.
I don't know that I know them off the top of my head.
Such organizations and initiatives provide platforms for reporting sightings, conducting some investigations, and sharing information. Their existence is indicative of a gap in the way UAP sightings are treated by both the authorities and the scientific community, but their lack of financial resources limits their actions and prevents them from offering a full suite of services. And from here, was supposed to get into the global perspective on UAP reporting, but that's going to be its own episode sometime in the future, so I left this one paragraph from it.
Okay. Fair enough.
The recent global development in the study and investigation of UAPs demonstrates an increasing commitment to scientific inquiry and national security. Some countries have established formal governmental bodies to investigate UAP sightings, while others have relied on non-governmental organizations or citizen science groups to collect and analyze reports. The growing recognition of the need for robust data collection and international cooperation reflects a shared interest in understanding these phenomena and a global shift towards a more systematic and open approach to the study of UAPs. And Chelsea, this is really why we're reading this. We are now at the recommendations.
Okay, good. I need some.
The Sky Canada Project highlights a significant gap in Canada's approach to UAP phenomena. As most federal entities lack the capacity, mandate, or resources to address this issue systematically, public interest in greater transparency and improved reporting mechanisms underscores the need for coordinated action. Insights from non-governmental organizations, citizen-driven groups, and independent journalists reveals the enduring public fascination with UAPs and the potential value for establishing more robust framework for data collection and investigation. The survey by Earnscliffe found that interest in UAPs is generally moderate. However, half the respondents felt that the Canadian government should do something about UAP sightings and devote funds to the effort, including for investigation. The majority of respondents felt that the government should set up a service to enable Canadians to report their sightings and attach importance to transparency of information on the subject. Moving forward, the Sky Canada Project serves as a crucial foundation for discussions on enhancing federal oversight and public engagement regarding UAPs. By fostering collaboration across departments and with civilian organizations, Canada can develop a more cohesive and transparent approach to understanding and addressing these phenomena. To enable thorough scientific studies of UAP sightings, a range of data collection and investigative activities would be required. For instance, standardized protocols should be established to ensure data are comparable in their content and format. The fragmented nature of UAP reporting across various departments and agencies in Canada complicates the application of scientific principles. This lack of coordination results in inconsistent information collection across the government, making it onerous, if not impossible, for researchers to access and compile data for rigorous science-based analyses. Additionally, the fact that investigations of reportings are not easily available contributes to distrust and disinformation. During the Sky Canada project, the Office of the Chief Science Advisor received about 250 inquiries about Canadians regarding various aspects of the project, including inquiries about where to report UAP sightings and requests for government assistance to interpret photos and videos, despite the Sky Canada website clearly stating that the office was not offering that service nor collecting such information, which I just find hilarious that people are in that position.
Yeah.
I don't know where to report this. It clearly says I don't report it here, but I'm going to ask you. Canada would benefit from an improved process for reporting, collecting, and studying UAP sightings. The approach should be more rigorous, transparent, and coordinated than is currently the case. The following actions are proposed for consideration by the Government of Canada in order to 1. Improve coordination and analyses of UAP reports in Canada. 2. Promote public trust and mitigate disinformation. 3. Enhance scientific rigor and science literacy surrounding UAPs. And 4. Position Canada for greater collaboration with other countries on a topic that has no geographic borders. And here are their points. Reporting and data oversight. 1. Identify a lead. A federal department or agency responsible for managing public UAP data should be identified. The lead should be a trusted and recognized scientific organization, have the capacity to communicate with the public, and an already established international scientific network. For example, Canadian Space Agency. Establish a dedicated service. The service would collect testimonies, investigate cases, and post its analyses publicly. It would proactively inform Canadians about UAPs. To achieve these goals, it would convene a network of government and academic partners and experts to conduct scientific analyses and follow up with witnesses. Enhance reporting capacity in civil aviation. Transport Canada should encourage pilots, cabin crews, and air traffic controllers to report UAP sightings without fear of stigmatization. In collaboration with NAV Canada, they should analyze UAP reports to track trends and provide pilots with explanations, helping to reduce distractions during flights. These reports could be correlated and merged with those submitted by the public on similar sightings. Next, in communications, support public dialogue. A proactive strategy to increase transparency and communication with the public regarding UAPs should be developed. Such a strategy should bring together trusted, publicly facing organizations, including science centers and museums, as well as public libraries. Promote intra-governmental collaborations, an internal directive to ensure collaboration among all federal agencies with relevant expertise or data would aid the lead organization in providing explanations to witnesses and correlating recent observations with previous reports. Additionally, since some departments would continue to receive reports under these mandates, like the RCMP or TransCanada, they should be encouraged to forward their data as appropriate to the lead organization. Improve media relations. The lead organization should play a significant role in mitigating misinformation and disinformation by responding to public and media inquiries related to UAPs and by documenting and communicating common misinterpretations of observations. Examples of such approaches include interactive digital tools are found in other countries. And promote application of up-to-date evidence to effectively address misinformation and disinformation. Among others, a multidisciplinary expert panel should be set up to advise the lead organization on effective approaches to countering misinformation and disinformation. Research. Facilitate open access and open data. Data related to UAPs should be made available to the public for transparency and to support research. Conduct surveys. Periodic surveys of Canadians should be carried out to gauge their perception of UAPs and assess the impact of the dedicated services.
Interesting.
Support citizen science. Participatory science initiatives and programs should be developed to enable volunteer participation in the study of UAPs. Among other benefits, such as activities tend to increase the likelihood of informed citizenry and enhance interest of youth in science and technology careers. Provide tools for data collection. The development and deployment of publicly accessible digital and portable tools should be supported, such as bilingual applications for smartphones and interactive platforms to provide information including for data collection and ongoing research programs, and build on Canada's strength in astronomy and aerospace research. Canada has a superb talent pool and physical research infrastructure, and is part of major international initiatives aimed at understanding our planet and the universe, and developing tools for space travel and exploration.
Interesting.
The sector should be further supported and given opportunities to be part of the public dialogue. And lastly, international collaboration. Information sharing. The lead organization should establish partnerships with international entities dedicated to UAPs such as AARO and NASA, GAPAN in France, and CEFA in Chile to share data methodologies and best practices in UAP research and investigation. Cooperation in research and communication. Canada should actively engage with international partners for research collaboration and public awareness efforts. And the conclusion. If enacted, the recommendations given in this report can drive progress in several key areas. Their first goal is to increase government transparency on UAPs, potentially reducing related conspiracy theories and misinformation. Second, setting up clear and efficient reporting systems for UAP observations will greatly simplify the process, encourage more public participation, and support citizen-driven science. Improved data from public reports will enable more comprehensive and accurate research analyses. Investigating UAP reports may also enhance airspace security by identifying threats, thus threatening national security through the proactive mitigation of risks from UAPs. Finally, these measures will enable Canada to eventually join international groups, efforts concerning UAP sightings, fostering a comprehensive global approach to understand and address the UAP issue. Canada can ensure that UAP mysteries inspire future generations by fostering curiosity, critical thinking, and open-minded investigation. The investigation and study of UAPs does belong to humanity's quest for knowledge and understanding. Adopting more transparent communications and robust scientific methods will be a significant step forward in promoting public understanding and combating misinformation. It is in this spirit that the recommendations in this report have been formulated. And Chelsea, that's the end of the paper.
The first thing I want to ask is, you're the one that put this episode together, and you cut a lot out of it as well. What do you think?
I think this is an incredible paper. There's really good suggestions in here. We will see what actually gets through. But how candid they are with the topic at large, and just talking about like these mystery cases that we are well aware of, saying, they're really interesting.
It's very
cases.
Impressive.
It was shocking. Basically, to see a government body openly say, yeah, these cases are crazy.
Do you think that it's shocking, though? Because like I said, kind of at the beginning, Canada has kind of been very liberal about the whole UAP phenomenon, typically throughout, not throughout history, but as far as Canada has had a comment on it.
They've been better than other countries. They haven't been perfect. Like we've looked at, it's basically jumped around from one government body to another with nobody ever wanting to actually take it. The fact that it just ended up with the National Library at the end is, I think, just a sheer coincidence that makes you think that they are fairly liberal with the topic.
Is it that, or is it just that nobody kind of knows what to do with the topic?
It's a fair point.
Because I have found they have, in any of the topics that we've covered a few of the major ones in Canada, to be more, obviously, because there is a few things that we didn't know about them. They're the most renowned cases in Canada. But I did find when we covered them that the government actually did a lot of the stuff that we got as documentation was directly from the Canadian government.
Yeah,
which is abnormal as far as what
I just think it's because UFO everything ended cases. Up with the National Library in 95 and got digitized.
That's true. But you compare it to other cases like Roswell, which I don't know if that's a fair comparison, but the United States government.
Roswell would be Area 51, which you're talking about an actual government location, like a secret.
That's
base.
True.
As I'm opposed to some to guy think, coming across something that's not government information.
That's very true. And I'm trying to think of another example right now, and I can't.
I know. It's always hard off the top of your head.
But I mean, especially for me. Anything that I'm thinking of right now is government involved. But you don't really see that with Canada, is the point that I'm trying to make. And anything that we've covered, which are renowned cases in Canada, I mean, it's a little different with the United States because, yes, most of those are government cases. For instance, what I'm talking about is for one Roswell, where we see all these grifters come into play and start making their own narrative. And it's the same.
Oh, yeah, just a completely different
story. It's the same with Paul Benowitz, where the government is intervening and planting things for Paul Benowitz to think that there's underground bases. And this is the government doing that. So it's a completely different role that you're seeing from what Canada is involved with. And I will include myself with this. We're actually being forthcoming with it, I think.
And I will very happily say, after the conclusion, they put a list of organizations and individuals that were consulted for this report. And Richard Doty's name did not make the list.
Okay, thankfully. Good. I thought you were going to say that it did. And I was like, oh no. It was very
scary. That would have been great. Second.
My next point that I would like to make, how do I get a government job looking into Canadian UFO cases?
And here's the sad thing that I have to say. I don't think it's actually going to happen because the government right now is cutting budgets for everything and chopping jobs. So okay. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to follow through on much of this.
I feel like I could have done some good contributions to this report that they've put out there. But overall, I'm very impressed by what they've put together. I feel like it's forthcoming. I feel like it's trying to combat the stigma.
Yeah, and that was one part of it I found really interesting, was they really focused on that right-wing pipeline conspiracy part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, we need to get out there immediately with information so that people's minds can't be hijacked from what actually happened here.
I am very impressed by it. I'm very proud, as we have been with our wave of Canadian pride the last little bit. I think it's amazing. And I think it's on the forefront of things that are looking at UFOs because they want to be more open so that more people are reporting. They want it to improve safety even. And I can get behind that. They don't even care if it's real or not. Just
report it so that there's no stigma. Yeah.
Not only no stigma, but if you're a pilot and you're seeing something that you can't account for, you should be reporting it for safety issues, not because you don't want to, because it's a UAP and you're afraid of what people are going
to
say.
I am a little worried about Daryl, the pilot, who's going to be reporting all these airplanes he's seeing at night. Yep, that's just an airplane, Daryl. Again, it's the fifth one you've seen on this flight.
I love it. I think this is amazing. They did not at all address, maybe you cut it out. I would be very offended if you specifically edited out the weather balloons that were so big. What was that, 2 or 3 years ago now?
2 years ago, yeah. I briefly cut that part out, and it's really because like those are fully addressed. They were just like, hey, we should take a look at our UAP reporting schematics system within Canada. So they didn't actually have to address the weather balloons. It was like 3 sentences I cut out with regards to balloons. But because they were very clearly established what they were.
Big fan of this.
I was super impressed too that they talked about like getting people's stigma changed about this could actually get more people involved in the STEM fields because kids love this stuff. So them learning about it might naturally bring them into astronomy.
I love that. I think this is feel good, good news, and it's not even a mini.
But of course, ending with Canada is going into a budget cutting times. So I don't think they're going to follow through with this anytime soon. I'll keep an eye on the Hansard in the next little while.
You know what?
Mentioned, but
I can accept that given what is facing us currently. Why would I expect them to pursue something like this that would need funding? So I'll forgive them for
that. Yeah, and it definitely needs funding. It is very clear that it needs funding.
But as soon as we have the room for the funding, I fully expect that I will be paid for doing this.
We better get called up. Seeing as how we just gave you guys all this publicity.
Exactly. Yeah, and what a feel-good episode. I really like that.
And with that, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.
We'll be right back.